Good morning, Sharin, and honorable members.
Morning, Chair.
I'm unable to use my phone. It's damaged. So that is why I'm phoning early. I'm opening early. If there's any information you'd want to communicate me, unfortunately, you will not be able to do so through my phone. So everything would be transparent here. Are we forming the quorum?
No, not yet, Chair. We're still waiting on some of the members to connect.
Yes, and then the petitioners, are they part of this? Are they already?
I see Honorable Ishmael is connected. We're just waiting on Honorable Godlani, and then I see the department is here. I also see that the mayor is also connected to the platform, the mayor of Ekurhuleni. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, then you'll keep on. And that's why I'm saying we'll have to be transparent about everything. Otherwise, my phone is completely broken. Please indicate when we can start. Unfortunately, we are guided by time, so I would like to declare the meeting officially open. Welcome to the members who are already part of this and hope that the rest are going to join. Welcome to our guests. Our guests are petitioners. Our guests as well must be the mayor of Ekurhuleni and her team. Our guests as well would be the provincial government of Gauteng, whoever who is here, and any other people who might have joined the portfolio committee. Because the portfolio committee is an open, unless there's something that would say contrary to that. I would also like to welcome officials from Parliament and indicate to the petitioners that maybe we should apologize for the delayed engagement on the issues that you raised.
This meeting is being recorded.
The issues you raised. First, there was some change in the portfolio committee. A new chairperson replaced Honorable Mutambi. And but beyond the question of change, there might have been many other challenges in terms of the program and programming of Parliament. It's something that would prioritize the issues that get raised by communities. representatives. So that's our primary responsibility, to represent the public and to conduct oversight and make sure that the public participate on all issues of governance. So it's something that would correct, and despite all of those, despite the time lapse, we have come to this point where we are now trying to deal with our backlogs. So this is a platform welcome, and also welcome to the Metro, welcome to the provincial, I'm not sure how to pronounce this in other provinces. It would be COGSTA. In others would be COGTA. So whatever, I think I'll correct that as we proceed. So you are all welcome. In terms of the agenda, honorable members, there's only one item, these petitions from Ekurhuleni. That's what we'll be dealing with today. And fortunately, the petitioners are here. I may not be, because of me being new here, even remember the context, which would actually have prepared yourselves and everybody else to remember what are the issues. But fortunately, the petitioners are here. I hope they are here. Sharin, do we form a quorum now?
Morning, Chairperson.
Yes,
we do.
And then can you guide me? I think there were two people who were going to present from the petitioners. The first one was, is she around?
Yes, Chairperson. Honorable Bodlani is in the meeting, as well as Honorable Ishmael, so both petitioners is in the meeting.
Yeah, like I indicated, unless there's a member from the portfolio committee who can put some context into what we would be listening to. But if there's none, then I would immediately allow Honorable Bodlani to present.
Good morning, Chairperson, and thank you so much for your time. Chairperson, I note your opening remarks in that this petition took really a long time before it came to yourself. I beg your pardon, Chairperson. It took some time for this petition to come before yourself, and Chairperson, I submit this petition on behalf of my constituency in the Alberton Metro, in the Alberton City, in the city of Ekurhuleni. This petition, Chairperson, came about because the business owners of Al Road were called to a public meeting to discuss the perpetual power outages. And as a result, coming from that meeting, a petition was signed. Their biggest grievance, Chairperson, was that they do not have constant power supply. And this was impacting on their businesses. And their issue was that instead of allowing their employees, for example, to stay home because there would be no power, employees would have to come in and the employers would have to incur that cost. So that was very difficult for them. And I will make an example of one business owner who owns a motor painting company, where she would say, if the power goes off, the product is ruined. I must restart the whole thing and it's very expensive. So they were lamenting on the expense that they incur because of the regular power outages. Chairperson, as you would know, this report, this petition was submitted before the elections, and it is now under the leadership of Councillor Samantha Ney. Speaking to Councillor Samantha Ney, when I was called to the portfolio committee to present this petition, she has made me aware that the situation has changed, that there has been some a lot of work from the new administration, that projects are rolling and the outages are not as often as they used to be. It is her belief, Chairperson, that things are really changing and the businesses are no longer as badly affected as when the petition was submitted. So my submission to the portfolio committee this morning, Chairperson, is to say, how do we sustain? How do we sustain what is happening at this point, notwithstanding the challenges that we have with load shedding? I have seen the presentation that will be made to the portfolio committee this morning, which also speaks to load shedding as a biggest contributor to the power outages. It also speaks to the poor, the poor servicing of infrastructure. The lack of servicing of infrastructure is a contributor to the power outages. And it is my belief that that is historic and is not something that is going to be fixed overnight. So what I would love to get on behalf of the residents of Alberton, on behalf of the business owners of Al Roads, is some commitment to say, what is happening now with regular constant supply, how do we sustain it? That is my presentation to the committee, and I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable Bolani, can we then move to the next presenter? Sharin, you said is who?
It's Honorable Ishmael, Chairperson.
Over to you, Honorable Ishmael. We use this term honorable. We don't know who we are speaking to. Like I'm saying, the petition was, it took some time. So the interaction might have been between the former chairperson and yourselves. Honorable Ishmael. Ishmael, what is happening? Sharin, what is happening now?
Chairperson, I see Honorable Ishmael's video and microphone is on, but we can't hear anything.
So we can't hear him. Oh, I see the face. Can you unmute?
Thank you, Chair. I was having a problem unmuting for some reason.
Okay.
Chair, as you know, first of all, I would like to say good morning to everybody. And albeit it's a bit late that these petitions are being addressed, I welcome the fact that these petitions are now being addressed. However, Chair, I need to highlight that the first petition was submitted on behalf of the residents of Ikruleni and most especially residents of Benoni and the surrounding areas due to the constant, you know, non-service delivery, if I could use that word, of refuse removal. And although we know that this has been happening for the past few years, we still have the same problem happening again. So residents are basically complaining. They are paying for the services, yet they're not getting any response. I have looked at the presentation that was sent to us via the secretary. Thank you very much. However, I feel that that presentation, especially with regards to, you know, refuse removal, does not actually tell us the truth of what is happening on the ground. Since, you know, the refuse removal trucks are not on the ground when necessary, it seems to be that most of the time the department has to rely on weekend routes to these non-service areas. And I would like some more responses from the city of Ikruleni to say how are they actually going to be responding and ensuring that, you know, the residents of the, especially Boksburg, Benoni, are some of the areas that I can highlight right now that are not getting any service delivery. I mean, for 3, 4, 5 weeks and then only, you know, the department comes up with something to say that, okay, we're going to have some contingency plans now, you know, to effectively come out to these areas to pick up the, you know, the dustbins. And this is also resulting in, you know, a lot of illegal dumping and unnecessary, you know, hype by residents, and, you know, where it actually leads to refuse being dumped in front of service centers, etc. So I think, Chair, from my side, I would like some response from the certificate related to say what are maybe their challenges, because from what I can understand is that they possibly have a challenge of, you know, not enough fleet, etc., etc. And maybe that can be stated here so that we can properly understand the problem, and maybe we can then resort to requesting National Department of COCTA to actually assist with us shortages that the city of Ekurhuleni is actually experiencing. I don't know, Chair, if you would like me to address the third petition as well. That will be my second petition with regard to the pollution into the wetland, or would you like us to take each petition or one petition at a time?
No, present all of them.
Okay, so the last petition, Chair, is regarding, obviously, sewage overflow into the wetlands, and also obviously into the lakes and dams. It is obviously, you know, causing an unhealthy environment for residents. It's obviously also affecting the bird life. And we are having these dams that are actually being used by scouts, etc. And now we're finding that, you know, due to the unhealthy environment or unhealthy pollution into these lakes and dams, we are having a problem. Now, I have seen the presentation. I've scrutinized it. I've tried to, you know, check whether, you know, there is anything really substantial that is changed, that is going to be changing this. But just last night, I've got a response from some of the residents to say that, you know what, the sewage overflows are actually not, you know, there may be a slight change in this last few months where we're getting more effective service delivery on the ground when attending to this, but it's not actually dealing with the problem or assisting in dealing with the problem. I think in the presentation, it was stated clearly that, you know, the infrastructure is old and obviously more funds needed, you know, by the city of Ekurhuleni to properly address this. And look, when are we getting more into, maybe after the city of Ekurhuleni has had their say, maybe we can have some sort of interaction again, and we can then, you know, highlight more things once we get more info from the city of Ekurhuleni going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Now, this takes us to the city of Ekurhuleni. Maybe before we allow them, I think the term petition indicates that issues were raised with the relevant authority, and there could be no satisfactory response. So in other words, I would imagine that this petition coming to the National Assembly must have been addressed to the municipality. I'm talking for the future. Would like to say all of us, we are public representatives. We must be accessible to the public and respond as they would expect. So in other words, we must minimize petitions coming here, because as we are three spheres of government, and we expect all of us to engage. But let's hear this one now, the responses to this one. But I'm trying to say, Honorable Mayor, have a way, if you don't have to address petitions at that level before they come here. Over to you, Honorable Mayor of Ekurhuleni.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, and all members of Parliament. Honorable Chairperson, yes, thank you for your comment. There certainly is a way forward, and there certainly is also a avenue for petitions to be addressed within our city. Honourable Chairperson, as Executive Mayor of Ekurhuleni, I'd also like to thank you for the opportunity to present our feedback for these three petitions, which are quite old petitions as well, and quite a lot of work has been done going forward. Honourable Chairperson, I would like to say that the petitions that will be for consideration today will be presented by our leadership. We will speak to the individual petitions. Honourable MMC Sabeku, who leads the water and sanitation and energy portfolio, will speak to the first petition regarding the Al Road industrial area with the assistance of his HOD in his department, which is Mr. Tenga. We have also had quite a lot of public meetings within that area and have come to quite a good solution in with the business owners and public participation and private participation within the Al Road area. So we are seeing quite a good turnaround and workable solutions. Honourable MMC du Plessis will lead us in the environment and waste management portfolio and will speak to the second petition regarding the inadequate refuse removal. This will be done with the assistance of his HOD of environment and waste management, and that is Mrs. Mabindisa. And lastly, regarding the third petition on the sewer infrastructure, Honourable Chairperson, it will be Honourable MMC Sabeku again, who will address the issue of the sanitation with the assistance of his HOD of water and sanitation, Mr. Maseku, Honourable Chairperson. So if you would allow me for our Honourable MMCs to present on the presentations that have been forwarded through to you.
Oh, thank you very much. Let's follow the order as directed by the mayor.
It will be Honourable MMC Sabeku. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm not sure if I'm audible.
We can hear you. We can see you as well. Thank you.
Oh, okay, no. Thank you very much, and good morning, and thank you for this opportunity today. Good morning to you, Chairperson, our Honourable MPs, Honourable Executive Mayor. I'm aware that as you mentioned, Chairperson, that we do also have officials from the provincial level. I would also like to also welcome other guests and also officials from the city, especially HOD, Tenga and Masego, who will be assisting me in presenting on behalf of the city when it comes to the petitions that have been handed in. Now, I think the last two speakers, Chairperson, especially our executive mayor, has actually addressed some of the two, you know, issues that I think one of them is the fact that we have been addressing these issues, and we have also been engaging with the business industry and residents since we've come into government, and we have been trying, and obviously with all the challenges that we have, some long-term solutions, some short-term solutions, and been engaging and presenting these things to our community members to ensure that as a city we'll be working hand in hand. As it was said by MP Bolani, that the petition was submitted prior to elections, and some of the issues have been engaged upon and also been addressed. We are very happy that there is actually some visibility in terms of the change that we're trying to, you know, to show out there in terms of our commitment in ensuring or correcting these issues. So I'm very happy for those comments. However, today we also have to speak to the petition, because what she had also mentioned is the fact that as much as there has been some improvement since the last time they submitted the petition, but the question now will be in the case of sustainability, because of we still do find ourselves in a situation where business and industry and our residents still have issues with power outages. So it's something that is not totally resolved. However, it has found you know, some solution that at least there is a bit of relief when it comes to business and industry being affected as per the petition. So we will definitely give a presentation today through our HOD, Mr. Chilizi Tenga, who will take us through and just give some bit of context in terms of what is it that has been uncovered and how we are ensuring in terms of the short term and the long term in how we're going to resolve these issues within the area. With that said, Chairperson, if I can just hand over to our HOD Tenga to take us through. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and the Portfolio Committee. Good morning to the Executive Mayor and MMCs and all other stakeholders. I'm not sure. Please indicate if you can see the presentation, if it's lighted from your side.
Yes, we can.
Thank you, Chairperson. All right. Yes, as far as this petition is concerned, Chairperson, we have since then done a lot of work to address the major challenges that we're finding in Alberton. Those challenges relate to the aging infrastructure, which now leads to more frequent equipment failures resulting in outages. We also have load shedding contributing to that as well, which all in all then contributes to the entire system reliability. The issues of shortage of resources is more a general contributor. That slide that I'm showing right now kind of shows you what happened in the month of June, July, August. If we can look at that, you will see that load shedding came in and it contributed quite a lot. However, let's just focus on the other colors that you see, the operational causes, the equipment failure, and the cable fault. Those are the major ones in the absence of load shedding. We have put quite a lot of measures in place for Alberton, and it includes the completion of a new substation that will assist in alleviating the constraint in the network. This will be finalized at the end of the financial year. All the solutions that are listed there are aimed at making the solution, the situation more and more sustainable to remain where we are and even get better from where we are. So the DIN substation is very critical for the network to stabilize. We also have a couple of other main substations that we are currently busy refurbishing. One of them is the Z3 substation, the AGA substation, also being refurbished. All have got targets of end of 2023 financial year. That is not next year, June, when we expect them to be completed. We are also doing maintenance as well, some of the strategic areas and strategic links, upgrading the another substation, which is called Combrick, very critical to Al Road as well, Arnold substation. Well, those are the kind of projects that we are currently busy with right now, and already we are starting to see a result where we have made progress. Chairperson, it is very important for this sustainability to happen. For this sustainability to happen, it is very important that we secure our infrastructure. The issue of third-party interference in our network through vandalism and theft and all those kind of things make the situation worse. So our idea is that we need to secure these substations. We need to be able to monitor them through cameras. We need to be able to install early warning devices, which we have in certain areas. And as you may be aware, it's quite impossible really to monitor everything in the entire network because we are talking about a very large network. It can be very costly. So we look at monitoring those hotspots, those strategic areas that are quite oftenly affected. Over and above, you know, our reliability initiative that we have started says that we need to pump in more funding as and when it is available. And with that funding, we need to now intensify maintenance, you know, the actual fault detection, localization, and managing the entire process. I've already mentioned the issue of security as well, that we need to secure our infrastructure. And we always need to have spare supply, especially for the businesses. You know, when certain things happen on a certain circuit, we should be having an alternative supply. So those kind of things we're looking at. We'll be going into the future, as everything eases and finances become more and more available, we need to deal with those kind of issues. Also, network visibility is very important for the city. We need to be able to see what is happening where at any given point in time from a central point. That is our plan. We are saying that in terms of metering as well, we have started a process to be able to install different types of meters with the main aim of providing statistical information that we'll be able to use to make the decision. Chairperson, we're looking at a high voltage and medium voltage network. At that level, we'll then be able to improve our turnaround times. We are going to fast track these initiatives. Also, it's important to note that the speed at which it will go will depend on the availability of the funding as the economic situation improves, Chairperson. With that note, I would like to say thank you.
Thank you. I think we're following the order as was indicated.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. The next presenter will be MMC du Plessis on waste management, and he's head of department. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable members present, as well as Executive Mayor. We have been experiencing historical problems as well, in the sense that we have an aging fleet and we have some problems within the processing of the financials in historical invoices. However, I can't speak too much. I'm going to allow my HOD, Mrs. Playford Seller, to take us through some of the more logical and on the ground details. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to the committee, the Executive Mayor, MMCs, and colleagues. I'm coming in on a response on waste collection for Benoni and Boxbeck. I'm trying to switch on my camera, but I'm unable to. But then I will carry on. We received a petition from the honourable member, and I wanted to make the following presentation in relation to the disruption in Benoni and in Boxbeck, because she mentioned Boxbeck as well in her presentation. In an effort to take our residents and our councillors along, in an event that we do have a disruption, we engage with the ward councillors and advise them as to what the alternative date of collection is. Whilst the service would have been missed, the city then makes all efforts to collect the waste in these areas during weekend. So yes, I do confirm that we do a weekend collection, but we do advise the residents as to which day of the weekend we are going to be servicing them. This is in an effort to ensure that we provide a weekly service. In addition to that, residents are then allowed to take out their bin and any additional waste that would have been incurred during that week. So we do not leave bags behind, and we do inform our employees that because the service has been missed, they must service the bin in a residential area, and also collect the bags that our residents tend to place next to their bins. Additionally, we have a 9 mini disposal sites that are available between Binoni and Boksburg, where residents can take their waste, and there is no charge for this service. This in an effort to avoid residents dumping their waste illegally. Chairperson, I would like to state that the main reason that we find ourselves in the position that we are finding ourselves in is that we are having extremely old compactors, which are the specialized equipment that we use to service our areas. And the growth in the demand for the service is not matched by the budget to do the service. To that extent, we sit with a situation whereby, even though we do have a panel of service providers that would assist in cases where we are having one or two breakdowns. However, the extent to which we are having breakdowns is so large that we have to have a huge budget to service the invoices that come in from our service providers. But because the budget is limited, we have an issue then with following up with the payments of these service providers. Additionally, because we have to replace the fleet that we have, the pace in which we are able to do so is very slow, to the extent that we are procuring 4 compactors in the current financial year based on the funding that we have. So there is definitely a need to consider funding to a larger scale the recapitalization of our fleet. There are other measures that we are looking at that are going to then shorten the turnaround time in cases where one then experiences a breakdown, and we are currently investigating the full maintenance lease model. So with that, we are hoping that our problems of fleet that is aged, the breakdowns that we are incurring will be resolved, and we will be able to then offer a regular service that is offered on a scheduled day. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Next one.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just would like to add on the solid waste report back as well. We are having a urgent meeting on Tuesday with the city manager, the GCFO, and then also the HOD from the department, to come up with sustainable solutions and urgent solutions, Chair. Chair, something that the HOD failed to mention is that the city is exploring lease versus purchase. Due to the financial constraints and the work of the specific and specialized trucks that this department has, it is hugely expensive for us to purchase outright all the time. So we are busy in that process. However, in the meantime, we are looking at fast-tracking payments to external service providers, but there are challenges on documentation, and therefore we are also having an urgent meeting on Tuesday to resolve this, because as the Executive Mayor, I am certainly not pleased with the outcomes that we have had so far from the department. And with saying that, Honourable Chair, I'd like to again introduce MMC Duplessis, MMC Sabeku for the last question. Thank you.
Thank you.
very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much, Executive Mayor. The petition that we have right now also will be taken through a presentation by our HOD, Thokozani Masego. It will obviously touch on the reasons and the challenges that we have, but also solutions that we have for the problems that we have. You know, some, as I always say, you know, you can't always throw money to problems. So as much as we have aging infrastructure that needs to be resolved, and as many have, you know, also presented before, that aging infrastructure seems to be, you know, the biggest challenge that we have, but that will be obviously a long term. But the in between our challenges, obviously, where we would be focusing on maintenance and repairs in doing so, obviously, to try and reduce the frustration in terms of the sewage overflow. But we also do find ourselves where we are, you know, have a challenge against nature, you know, tree roots, intrusion, you know, it's things that also play a huge role in all of that, but that will be also be addressed in this presentation. However, I think I just needed to make note that part of the challenges that we have here is, you know, we also find that community members need to play a huge role in assisting us here in ensuring that we fix some of these problems, because of a lot of the times when we do find ourselves doing maintenance and repairs, and we find foreign objects, you know, and some of the challenges, we find that there's theft in things like manholes and so forth, but also, you know, responsible business who are doing their daily, you know, business. However, there is some kind of challenge or that they find that we find ourselves with dealing with some of what they have to excrete into these into our pipelines. And you find that, you know, with restaurants especially, I think that would be the easiest example to make, and I think it's also been presented today, that there's a lot of challenges that we have there. But I will allow our HOD just to take us through, but I think I just needed to make the point that, you know, as much as there is aging infrastructure, there is nature that we have to deal with, but there's a lot of education that must go into the communities where we would need assistance in ensuring that as much as we upgrade, as we fix, as we repair, as we refurbish, but we also have assistance in ensuring that we protect and our infrastructure. Thank you very much. We'll have our HOD, Mr. Thokozani Masego, take us through. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. Good morning to the Executive Mayor, MMCs present, all stakeholders and colleagues. Through you, Chairperson, can I continue the presentation?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Chairperson, this is the background in terms of the cause of blockage intervention, environmental complaints, and conclusion. This Chairperson is just to give the background how the petition came to the city. And just to indicate, Chairperson, that this is a very old suburb, and as a result, the infrastructure is very old. It was built in 1967, and meaning that it is 55 years old. But the major challenge with this infrastructure, Chairperson, is the type of material of pipe that was used when this was done, which is an earthway pipe, meaning that it can be infiltrated or by the roots. And also with the movement of soil, changing of temperatures, it can crack as it expands, or crack as it constructs in winter, causing roots intrusion to be easy. The main reason for that is just this, in this system, the properties, we've got mid-block, the system running the mid-block as illustrated in the diagram that is shown. You can see on the main road, and then the sewer lines run between the properties, of which there's a challenge of access, and there's a lot of trees, as I've said, that are more than 50 years old, that now are starting to penetrate to our roots. And the other challenge is, Chairperson, this is an old infrastructure. Technically, it shouldn't give us a problem, but due to the material that was available at that time, that cracks and allow roots intrusion, and that is a problem that we're facing now. And the major challenge facing in this area is road intrusion, and basically due to mid block, the pipes are also very deep, plus minus 2 meters deep, and the challenge is the fully developed suburbs, they are fenced, and some of the owners there, they've built on the servitude, meaning that when we have to dig or construct, we must break permanent structures that some of them they've built without getting approval from the city. And Chairperson, this is type of the picture of roots that we removed on the line from the trees. The challenges with this is that when you jet the line, you will jet and open the blockage. But because you can't see what is the problem inside the line, you find that you jet today, 2 days later, it blocks again. Then we use technology to put CCTV camera to find out what is causing continuous blockages. Then when we identify that is a root, then we arrange for specialized services to get root cutters to cut and remove the roots. And the other challenge, Chairperson, is the foreign objects that are thrown on the line, such as rugs, stones, wood. Sometimes we even remove rubble and even tires because it's damaged and the infrastructure itself. And part of the interventions that we do as a city, we do education and awareness campaigns to alert the communities that they need to take care of this infrastructure so that it doesn't cause problems and to the communities and also to the environment. This is the nature of other foreign objects that we remove in this line, Chairperson. And also we've got people taking old pens and throwing onto the system, causing it to block at the pump station. And the other challenge, Chairperson, is that when there is power outages, then that's when we have a lot of these problems. Because when there's power outages, the sewer doesn't flow, and then it starts to solidify, especially in winter season when there are challenges of theft. And the other one is the stealing of manhole covers. Steel manhole covers, they get stolen, and the concrete one, they also break them to remove the steel inside, and that causes prolonged blockages because when those concrete covers, they're stolen, they take the concrete and throw it inside. And then for us, we have to dig and open the line to be able to remove concrete because of its nature on the system. The other challenge is, Chairperson, is the theft from nearby restaurants. This one is mostly severe during winter season, as during winter at night, the theft solidify and just block the line consistently. And this is a picture showing what the theft does. It just, when you open the sewer line, you just find a cake on top, a solid cake. And in conclusion, Chairperson, the department has resources such as internal teams. As and when maintenance contractors, we attend to these challenges 24/7 as they are reported to our call center, even on public holidays. And we also, areas that we've identified as hotspots, we do regular inspections to minimize any damage to the infrastructure, special natural infrastructure, such as streams and dams. And also the city chairperson do tests to monitor based on the test results as per the environmental compliance reports that I'm sharing with you. You can see on this slide that from 1st of July 2021 to 31st of July 2022, that the latest major pollution that we had was on the 19th of April 2022. You can see there from column number 5 from the left of your computer, that the coliform there, it was 490 counts, and the COD was 13, of which it was very high. Then on the sample that was taken on the 16th of May, this one, you can see that is 10, of which is very healthy. Then the previous one is healthy, and the next one is healthy, showing that the system has performed and the challenges has improved. As we see from the test results that we conduct on monthly basis to check the quality of the water. And Chairperson, this is another one. It helps to interpret the water quality. The point that I want also to raise, Chairperson, is to see that when especially the coliform here is 130 at the bottom here, that if it's below 130, then the water is fairly acceptable as per legislation. And thank you very much, Chairperson and members.
Thank you. How far are we, Mayor?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. That is the end of our presentations. But also, Chair, just to add on to the last presentation, that the city itself, that we are doing vigorous line cleaning programs, specifically going into the summer seasons, because when our rainy season starts, we do find that there is a huge increase of spillages due to foreign objects within our lines. But Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity in presenting. Those were the last of our presenters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think honorable members are still with us. We must get the last comment presentation from the provincial government. Coxta. Anybody from the department? Sharin, do we have anybody from the department?
Chairperson, Mr. Kiwi from the department. I don't see him connected to the platform at the moment. Let me just find out, because I did see him earlier, but I don't see him now.
In the meantime, we should proceed, because the primary responsibility to deal with this was with the Metro. But when they come in, we'll allow them. Can I now allow members? We have received the petition, explanations, and then the response. From I see Honorable Groenewald, you are number one. Any other hand? Honorable Matumba, number two. Simango, number three. Andre Du Plessis, it was a mistake. Becky Hadebe, number four. Hassan Ishmael, number five. Can we follow that order? Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chairperson, and please allow me to keep my camera off. I do not have that stable internet.
Okay.
Chairperson, I'll be quick. I'm glad to hear that some of the petition points is addressed, but I want to ask the municipalities, in terms of dispute resolution, in terms of the Systems Act, they must have a mechanism in place, and that mechanism or the way to handle complaints to the municipality must be in place and open for the public to know. But I couldn't receive anything on the websites in terms of dispute resolution. Is there a mechanism in place with the municipalities, and do they communicate this mechanism to the communities? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Matumba.
No, thank you, Chair. I'll start with Honorable Tenga. I hear that you are having shortage of resources, vehicle, specialized equipment, manpower. But I mean, we expect you to address such. This must be something that you budget for and have manpower and these specialized equipment, because once business is having problem with electricity, they will go and people are going to lose jobs in your municipality. So those are the things that must be addressed, because Chair, we can't come here and address issues of service delivery that should have been addressed there in the municipality. I mean, a petition should have been coming as a petition for policy change or something, but service delivery, something that can be done through administration and management. I mean, it's something that's wrong. You ask yourself, why do we then have municipalities and provincial governments if they are not going to assist our people? The petition that we should have been having here was supposed to be on police, was supposed to be on bylaws, that we want this law to be scrapped, a law that is being implemented. But then if we are going to come here and then discuss service delivery, no, that's something that is wrong. Now, I'll go to waste management. You know, once I hear the word service provider, I know that's where the problem is. Chair, we are having a tendency by municipalities that are now relegating their duties to contractors. When it's time to prepare financial statements, contractors. When it's time to provide security guards, contractors. When it's time to provide water tanks, contractors. Then you ask yourself, why are we having municipalities when municipalities are not doing their jobs and they are using contractors? Didn't they see that their fleet is getting old? Why don't they replace it? They should have sold the old ones and bought the new ones. It cannot be that contractors are the ones that they rely on to do work. They must do their own work and leave these things of using contractors. So by now, they should have been telling us that we have an order, we are going to buy how many fleets. It can't be that they are relying on contractors, because what is going to happen next is that their own people inside are going to sabotage municipality cars so that contractors can come and do work. We have seen it in KZN where people are now killing each other to provide water tanks. So to avoid many things, they must replace the issue of contractors and make sure that they provide service on their own. The other one is an old infrastructure. We can't be told about infrastructure of 1967. By now, you should have been having a plan that you are having a three-phase or a four-phase plan where you are going to replace old infrastructure and put new one. I mean, you can't be expecting something built in 1967 to be functioning properly now. People are mainly, population is growing, and is the same with the capacity. Something that was built in 1967 can't hold the capacity of today. So you should have been telling us that this is what we have planned. And lastly, Chair, I hope this will be the last time. This is a serious waste of time that could have been put in doing something. You should have been in the municipality providing service by now. Now you are appearing here discussing service delivery with us, and we should have been dealing with other issues. Service delivery is something that we must not even sit down and talk about. Management and political leadership must make sure that there is service delivery. What we should have been discussing is policy and ideology and other things.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Mango.
Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to yourself, Chairperson, and greetings to colleagues, and greetings to the mayor. Greetings to the MMCs that are present in the meeting, to the officials that are equally present in the meeting. Chair, maybe there is a lesson that we need to take out of this engagement or out of this meeting, that one, we need to first define what is it that we call a petition, because I agree with the previous speaker. Service delivery cannot be a petition. For instance, I want to be specific. Honorable Tenga is speaking about shortage of equipment. I mean, surely just a second here. Surely that is not the competency of national government. My understanding is that the municipality should have set and drafted a budget plan to say these are the things that we will need in order for us to be able to make sure that we deliver services as expected, because it's the competency of the municipality to deliver services, basic services to the community. So I'm saying, is there any plan in place to get this this equipment? Because for you to be able to deliver services, you've got to have equipment, including manpower. You've got to be able to close those vacancies that are not closed, so that you are able to be sufficient enough in terms of your manpower, but also in terms of your equipment. So that cannot be tabled here as one of the. In fact, the community is correct to complain that, but the response that we are getting from the municipality to say, we are short of equipment, like as if somebody somewhere must come and buy equipment for the municipality. For me, it is unacceptable, and really we should be able to, by the time we leave, we should be able to get a clear answer as to say, when are they buying that equipment. I did not capture the name of the colleague that was presenting, talking about an old infrastructure. For me, this becomes a challenge that is facing almost many municipalities that have townships or that have residential areas that are old. You are speaking about an infrastructure that is as old as 55 years. Surely this infrastructure did not wake up and become old. You knew that the infrastructure is old, and yet there is no plan as to say how do you want to mitigate this process? Well, surely you should be saying to us, you are presenting a plan that says this is the plan. It's maybe in phase one, this is what we'll do, phase two, up until you resolve the issue of old infrastructure. So I'm saying, yeah, we've got to come out of this meeting, because then the community is complaining with correct things, if that is the case. We've got to come out of this place with a clear plan from the municipality to say, or if they need time, they must go back and then come back and tell us to say, when can they then be able to put, we need time frames to say, when are they going to sort out the issue of equipment? When are they going to sort out the issue of infrastructure? Of course, infrastructure, it's not something that is small. You've got to budget on it. In fact, in different financial years, you've got to put your planning to say, this year, this is how far, this is how much you'll do, and this is how much you'll budget. But the community must be kept abreast as to say when are these things going to happen for us to be able to know. Then we can then be able as national government to come and say, okay, then in terms of policy, these are the things that we think maybe, you know, must be changed. But it can't be that we are going to be called to come and discuss equipment. I'm saying, sure, we've got to distinguish us to say, which one do we consider as a petition that must be entertained by this committee? Thank you so much.
Honorable Hadebe.
Ngiyabonga Salo, thank you so much, Chair. And take this opportunity and welcome all the colleagues, honorable members and officials, including the presentations that have been made. My network is unstable, Chair. Allow me not to switch on my camera. Chair, I hear my colleagues and I share most of their sentiments. And I think the petition having been assessed by Parliament and directed to us, indeed there is a need for us to address issues that have been brought before us. I must state up front, Chair, that I am from Ekuruleni Vosloorus, so I am going to be a bit subjective in this matter. I understand the frustration of the community out there. Having served, Chair, as an official in municipalities, particularly in the civil engineering department, I understand the issues that the officials are raising. However, what I'm not comfortable with, Chair, is solution to address these challenges, particularly as it relates to the roots intrusion into the pipes that were built in 1967. They have correctly highlighted the challenges. What is lacking on the presentation is the solution moving forward, because you're going to constantly get this intrusion of the roots into these pipes. Now the question would be, what then becomes a sustainable solution in addressing the challenge? I'd like the last presentation to give us such undertaking, and if there are any milestone projection and time frames, those be indicated to us, and then we'll arrive at a conclusion where we'll say perhaps we'll have to get a quarterly report, progress report in addressing these challenges. To only highlight the problems, it does not assist, because I think it's Miss Ishmael, when she wrote the petition to us, she called upon for us to investigate the challenges and come up with possible solutions. So I would concur with the colleagues and propose that we be given a detailed plan on addressing the issue of the old infrastructure and how are they going to address such moving forward. That's my proposal on in relation to the last presentation. Coming to the presentation that deals with the refuse removal services with challenges pertaining to compactors that continuously needs to be maintained and having to resort into weekends collection. Chair, again, we need to get the magnitude and the extent of the challenge in terms of what exactly would it take to ensure that the services is not interrupted. One, the presentation did not give us a sense of how many compactors are needed to ensure a sustainable collection of services during the week, and how many compactors do they currently have. Two, what is the extent of outsourcing they talk as and when contracts, so that we understand the magnitude, Chair. So I'm proposing that we get a detailed response also in this regard, and we must be given time frames again. In terms of, this is the newly elected administration in 2021. I'm sure they've undertaken public participation in relation to their IDP and budget for the next 5 years. Is this catered for in their IDP, and how soon will the problem be addressed, and for how long will the resident continue to be confronted with the situation where the waste removal will be collected on weekends? A project plan that will detail a key attempts into eradicating the challenge confronted by these residents is needed. The presentation is well captured. It highlights the sense of understanding the challenge, but it fell short into giving us a solution into addressing this problem and make sure that it's eradicated in future. That is my 2 cents contribution in relation to this matter, Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I have noted the hand of Honorable Botlan, but I'll take you after the two members. Now the next one is Honorable Ishmael.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to say thank you to the Chair. I would like to say thank you to the committee, the Portfolio Committee of COCTA, to the Mayor of Ekurhuleni, to the MMCs, and obviously to the department officials. From your inputs of your presentation, I just have a few more queries, if you don't mind, Chair, so that if we could get some answers here, I'll appreciate it.
I'm sorry, I didn't recognize that you are one of the petitioners. Let me just finish the members. The last one would be Honorable Mbumza. Then I'll come back to you and Honorable Bodla.
No problem. Thank you, Chair. Understandable.
Thanks. Honorable Mbumza. Network.
Good morning to you and the honorable members. And Chair, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chair, honorable members, the mayor and MMC, and all the officials present in this portfolio committee meeting. The constitution
Republic
of South Africa enjoys this liberty. The constitution of the Republic of South Africa enjoins the city of Ekurhuleni to provide services to its community in a sustainable manner. And equally, because it enjoys the same city, that it promotes a safe and healthy environment. Then any breakage of services to communities, whether is it the breakage of electricity provision or the non-removal of waste, is actually a violation of those two clauses of the Constitution. Secondly, the fact that, Chair, to add on what we have just raised in our opening, It is very difficult that communities should actually be sending petitions or petitioning the National Assembly to investigate matters that are affecting them, which should have been provided and responded to by their local government. In this particular, the city of Ekurhuleni. Chair, the Systems Act and Health Act makes provision for mechanism to be set up in place as well as the early warning systems, so that early on there would be an indication that a particular infrastructure would actually reach its useful lifespan. And this would relate to the fact that when a proper asset management system is put in place, would ensure that in terms of the asset management policy, that infrastructure that is old would have to be disposed of at a particular time. Now, it can't be that would be told in this meeting that one of the reasons why there are these services that are not rendered is simply because the infrastructure is old. The municipality should have known long ago that this particular structure at a particular time would reach its useful lifespan to be disposed, and refurbishment would have to be kicked in. Does this relates to perhaps a failure of proper management by the management executive of the city, as well as the failure of the leadership to provide leadership at all times on these particular matters? Chair, I also agree with other members that perhaps any intervention by the city, the plan that would put in place to refurbish all the infrastructure, the plan that we put in space to replace the old infrastructure for refuse removal, that a proper plan would have to be developed, and then it would have to be presented to us and sent to us with clear time frames when that would happen, so that would be in a position to respond as the portfolio committee to the petition that would be sent as to say, let's investigate. Chair, one issue, what measures has the city put in place to provide security to its infrastructure, as well as the manholes that are vandalized, as well as the stripping of the metal on such manholes? What security measures has the municipality put in place to ensure that such instances or incidents are preempted and prevented? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. It's not response as yet. We'll now allow the petitioners, Ishmael, as well as Honorable Botani. I don't know whether to say they will be responding or they will be asking, because possibly we could have allowed them to engage with the presentations. But I think we have commented as well. Can we allow Honorable Ishmael?
Thank you, Chair. Once again, I would like to thank the mayor of the city of Ekurhuleni, the MMCs and the officials for coming out today in addressing this petition. Chair, I would just like to highlight a few things that I'm concerned about after listening to the presentation. But I want to put on record that these petitions were submitted before the new administration took over in the city of Ekurhuleni, and I've seen a difference in service delivery. And that is why I'm highlighting only two areas, that is Benoni and Boksburg. If you look at the petition, it states the city of Ekurhuleni and the whole of city of Ekurhuleni. However, I've highlighted Benoni and Boksburg because I've seen a difference in service delivery in the last few months. But what I'm concerned about now, after listening to the issues of, invoices not being paid on time and a fleet that is not functioning. And obviously, we're looking at budgets that have been passed, and we acknowledge that the city has been trying their utmost in, getting the municipality functioning, if I can use that word. I'm just worried that as executive of the city, are there any, you know, accountability or management strategic plans in place to ensure that, you know, we may have a new administration when it comes to MMCs and mayors, but I think most of the time the officials know what's going on in the department. So are there any specific things that the city is doing to ensure that maybe the person that was responsible for paying up these invoices and to ensure that the fleets were actually functioning, or, you know, the maintenance being done, et cetera, are actually held accountable by the executive of the city? Because this is telling us that, you know, something has severely gone wrong, because while the city may have passed a new budget, obviously we're looking at this budget now being used to actually fix up last year's maladministration, if I can use that word. And they are definitely going to be running out of budget now to actually effectively provide service delivery to the residents as we speak, because the budget is going to be running out and we're back to square one. I also note, you know, from what you've told us in your presentation, that the outsourced areas have been 100% on schedule all this time. And I also noted the mayor stating that, you know, you're going to be having a meeting to discuss all this with the CFO and the city manager, etc. And we appreciate that. But I still feel, Chair, listening to the city and listening to the challenges of the city, I would then, on behalf of the residents of Ikurhuleni, the petitioner sitting here today, I would like to ask the National Department for assistance on behalf of the city's residents to say, we acknowledge the infrastructure issues, we acknowledge the fleet issues, we acknowledge the invoices not being paid on time, we acknowledge that, you know, during weekends the department is trying to catch up, but we also know that there's frustration on the ground. And we also know that, yes, while the city does have a call center, et cetera, where people can actually report that, I can acknowledge that. I was a resident in the city of Ikurhuleni. I served as a PR counselor and ward counselor in the city of Ikurhuleni, and I know there's a call center, and I know it's functioning much better now. But my point is that there is no conclusive, evidence to say that these areas that I'm talking about now, these particular wards in these particular, these particular towns in these wards, I should rather say, that are actually going to be receiving effective service delivery. Because, you know, if you're looking at weekends, while I hear the HOD stating weekends and we appreciate it, the reality is that it's just not costing the city even more money, because we know when it comes to weekends, obviously there's going to be a problem with overtime. So we want, yes, I would like some constructive report back, you know, to be able to say what is the city going to be doing. And I personally would like to ask the National Department to say, can we perhaps assist the city, considering that they are trying to make a change, they're trying to make a turnaround, but obviously they're sitting with challenges that are historical, if I can use it that way. And I hear my fellow colleagues here speaking to say that, you know what, we understand that this infrastructure, et cetera, and it's supposed to be planning. But I also understand that under the new administration, there is a new budget. But what I'm understanding is that this budget is going to be used to fix up, things that were supposed to be paid up in the last year. And this is definitely going to be affecting residents going forward. So can the National Department assist with more funding maybe to the city with regard to, you know, maybe providing for more fleet, et cetera, et cetera? When I come to the petition of the sewage overflow going into the lakes and dams, thank you, MMC, and to the department official. I hear you, and I really appreciate the air quality report is coming back. But I just want to highlight, you know, that, again, although we look at infrastructure that hasn't been attended to all these years, I mean, if you're looking at 28, 29, 30 years, and now you're sitting with a problem with it really, you know, getting out of control. Can the city maybe assist, you know, with the upgrade of the pump station by Cosmint as well? Because I think there's generators needed there, because with the constant Eskom power outages, and obviously we also have, when the Eskom power outages take place, we have obviously the effect on the ground when it comes to further infrastructure damage. Can we not maybe assist with a generator there to assist with, you know, ensuring that the pumps are running, and also, you know, it's not causing more issues on the ground when it comes to residents? Now, what I haven't found in the in the presentation is that while you've tried to respond to the petition to say this is what you're doing, et cetera, you remember when you're looking at lakes and dams, they all sort of link up to each other. And when we're looking at Cosman's Bird Sanctuary, you know, it's a major tourist attraction in the Benoni area, and we have around 300 different bird life in the sanctuary. And again, if the pump station is not operational, we have issues of overflow. Now, you know, what I'm worried about is that there's a slight crack in the wall that needs attention here as well. I've done an oversight visit there, and I've picked up some issues. And the other lakes do not have much sewage overflow flowing in. But when you're looking at certain of them, there's obviously a major issue. And many residents and are complaining. They're telling the councillors. Councillors are trying. I know it's been escalated to the municipality. And I know that from what I've heard now is that the municipality is trying the utmost to assist. However, again, I'm going to say, you know, we're having major dumping happening in certain areas, which is also, you know, having the issue of going into the dams and causing more blockages of the outlet into the streams. And this is obviously causing a more sewage overflow into more dams than what is actually specified on this petition. So again, I'm saying if we look at infrastructure damages or historical infrastructure, you know, upgrades that haven't been taking place, can the National Department of Health not maybe assist the city? Maybe if the city gives us a report to say this is exactly what they need for infrastructure upgrades, this is what they can accommodate in their budget, but this is the extras that is necessary for us to ensure that we have a clean and safe environment. Because when we don't have a clean and safe environment, it's obviously, you know, not adhering to the Environmental Act. And I'm wondering if the National Department of COCTA can actually assist with the necessary sister departments to assist the city of Ekurhuleni to actually get their you know, their systems in place and to assist them in not dealing so much with the historical non-service, if I can put it that way, or upgrades. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Bodlani.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me start off by welcoming the presentation by MMC Sibego and the HOD, and as well as the officials. Chairperson, I think firstly, petitions are a way that citizens speak to their government. And if you understand what a petition is, it is a last resort that residents will use to speak to their government. In fact, myself and Councillor Honorable Hasina have served as councillors in the city of Ekurhuleni. So we do understand the challenges that the city faces. So we do not come from a place of ignorance in terms of presenting these petitions. And equally, Chairperson, we understand that there is new administration. And as the mayor and the HODs and the MMCs have alluded, these are historic issues. But nonetheless, it does not stop us from petitioning Parliament so that the voices of the people can be heard. And we come here as a last resort to this committee. And we are thankful that we are being heard. Chairperson, service delivery is exactly what is meant to be the core service, core business of the municipality in terms of improving people, the life of people. And if we are going to then come and say in Alberton, there is these developments that are going to cost the city millions, but there's issues of vandalism, which is because of the threat to the infrastructure. But we do not hear anything about prosecutions. We do not hear anything about arrests. Then this presentation is lacking detail. Until and unless we get to a point where people know that they will be prosecuted, there will be consequences for damaging infrastructure such as substations. Because for me, that is really, it's treason, because these are businesses that are creating jobs. These are businesses that are paying services to the municipality. These are businesses that really are building industries in the city. As the presentation that we heard this morning, that our road is expanding, and therefore the city needs to invest in our roads. But we cannot keep chasing our tail in terms of investing in anything, or as a matter of fact, if we are not going to have consequences for delinquents, for criminals, for vandals who vandalize state infrastructure. So I would have loved to hear something come out in terms of what has been repercussions, what has been consequences to say, this is how we are going to protect it. There's a very big, active private security presence in Alberton and in our road. I don't know if the city is at liberty to tell us what sort of engagements they have had. I know the mayor went as far as acknowledging the business people in the Alberton North industries for the work that they do in assisting the city in securing the city infrastructure. Are we going to get more of those initiatives so that the burden does not fall on the city? Because this, there should also be some responsibility on the residents to protect the infrastructure that the city provides. Because if there is not going to be a buy-in from the residents, then the city will continue reinvesting in the same thing, because nobody finds value in looking after those things. So for me, Chairperson, it is just that commitment and just that stakeholder engagement and the prosecutions, if there has been any. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. We will now allow the city to respond to all of us. When I say all of us, starting with the petitioners as well as the members. Over to you, Honorable Mayor.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me start with Honorable Groenewald. Honorable Groenewald, we have got a petitions committee within the city where we also call petitioners in to do resolutions. From there, it goes through to the oversight committees and to the departments to come with resolutions and feedback to the various community members. So yes, we are busy streamlining that whole structure, as that whole structure had very antiquated petitions sitting within it. We are busy catching up with the backlog in that, but the new petitions that are coming in, I have also set up a service delivery desk within my office that deals specifically with petitions, new petitions coming in and getting resolutions from the various departments as quick as possible. And I must agree, normal day-to-day service deliveries challenges, I do find it strange that it comes to a COCTA meeting. However, this is my first COCTA meeting, so we will abide by requests of reports that are asked from us. Also, the Honourable Matumba, I agree with discussions on service providers. We have got a staff complement also in the city that has to perform the duties of solid waste collection, and we should get away from the service provider antics that were used in previous years. However, there are situations where we as a city is forced to use external service providers when we have to build up our fleet, get our fleet back to standard again, which was and is completely dilapidated from non-maintenance of the vehicles themselves. Therefore, in the presentation, we also stated, and I don't think maybe the HOD of the department presented it properly, but we are looking at the lease versus purchase agreements right now. Because when we look at the entire vehicle situation within Ekurhuleni, it is quite clear that no fleet management has taken place. And I have now put in a system within the city that proper fleet maintenance has to take place. Audit of all vehicles in the city has to take place. And it seems like vehicles were all over the city, and I need to know where our vehicles are so that we can budget properly. So consequence management, and that goes through to quite a couple of questions that were asked, will certainly take place on maladministration if that is found what has been happening. There is a plan on replacing old infrastructure, specifically when we look at the asbestos pipes within the city coming to sewerage and water supply. The department can without a doubt present at a specific date recommended by yourselves the plan to actually replace all the antiquated and old pipes that are not functioning anymore. As we are quite vigorously improving our water losses as well through this maintenance plan that we are already implementing. Our new budget came into with from the 1st of July. So our new budget is definitely talking to many of the concerns that are raised here, and the IDP processes was also followed, which is talking to a lot of the problems that are raised here as well. Honorable Masimango, I therefore direct that to you with our IDP and our budget that we are having a look at. We did put on new vehicles and new equipment in the budget. It is currently at the Bid Adjudication Committee, and that will be coming into our system quite soon now within the next couple of weeks. We are seeing already we have purchased 4 compact vehicles as well. So we are busy with that and going through the proper procedures through the bid adjudication processes on the. I have answered the long-term plan on the pipeline, Honorable Hadebe. I hope that assists you, but we will for sure table a detailed plan to the committee with the refuse removal compactors that have been purchased as well. And yes, the magnitude of the solid waste problem has been in the last month quite extensive. And therefore, we have made alternate plans to rectify this. And a lot of it does come from invoices payments and not due to non-payment by the GCFO by not trying to comply, but by contracts that or paperwork that did not follow the proper processes. So I have also asked for a forensic audit to take place on all these contracts that are outstanding and what processes were taken and why these processes were not followed. That will also, the forensic audit will also go through to the impact committee for further investigations. And from there, we would be able to do our resolutions on consequence management with the outcomes of those investigations, which are currently in place. The IDP and the budget are definitely talking to each other, Honourable MP, and we definitely have not just on solid waste, but specifically with electricity, we have channeled a lot of our budget to our service delivery departments. For us, it's very important to stabilize our electricity grid, and in the last, what we did with the adjustment budget in the for the last term budget that we inherited, we channeled also a lot of finances specifically to the electricity grid for maintenance purposes. And we've seen a huge difference in our stability within the grid for specifically the Alberton and Alroad area that is being discussed here, but in general in the whole of Ekurhuleni. Honorable Phumza, yes, definitely we have now put in early warning systems, which the presentation spoke to as well. So the early warning detection will assist us to see where the failures are taking place and rectify those failures as soon as possible. I think I have addressed the consequence management that will take place and the asset management system, which we have called on from the city manager and through the HODs of those departments to make sure that we know where our assets are and that our assets are actually being used to do proper service delivery within the city. With the stolen manhole covers, we've also implemented the polypropylene manhole covers, which we've been pushing for quite some time to bring into the city. That system has been brought into the city. However, vandalism still takes place, but not to the magnitude that we had seen previously when the steel manhole covers were used. And those were merely stolen to be able to use as resale at certain scrap yards. We've also brought in the concrete system as well within our manholes, and it makes it exceptionally difficult for singular individuals to lift and damage. So we are busy rolling that out into the entire city to try and prevent this type of behavior happening. Honorable Ishmael, I think I have answered your question regarding the non-payments and the accountability with the investigations that are taking place currently. And then Honorable Bordlani, the vandalism of the equipment and the vandalizing and protection of our assets. We have had many meetings with various businesses. They are also assisting us with the security systems that are close by to the substations. And this has proved to be a very successful measure. Not only that, we have also had meetings with our EMPD with SACS. We have had with the commissioner, the provincial commissioner as well, to roll out joint operations with the vandalism of not only our infrastructure, but then also the criminality that goes along with it within the city. Honorable Chairperson, if there are any further explanations that need to be done through our HODs or our MMCs, if there is anything they could just raise their hands to give further explanation on things that I did not cover within my report back. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. I assume you have tried to respond to all the issues raised, but if there's anyone, then I'll see with their hands if they want to speak. If I don't see your hand, I will not take exception if you just talk. But with that in mind, honorable members, if there's anything as well you would want to follow up on this, I will take your hands. I see the hand of Honorable Matumba and Honorable Funavant. Can I allow you in that order, Honorable Matumba?
Oh, thanks, Chair. There's a presentation, Mulwane Wotenga. He raised issues of theft and vandalism. And really, it's a big problem that we we can't ignore it at this level. I think in their budgeting, the municipalities must also look into it and how they work with SAPS and how the political leadership work with communities on how they can deal with this matter, because people who are vandalizing and stealing are people we are living with in our communities. So it is up to us as politicians to really go and deal with the matter and also scrap this thing of saying it's being done by foreign nationals only. Because once we say this thing is done by foreign nationals, then we leave the real culprits, because criminals are criminals. Once we give them a color, then that's where we lose it. So we really understand what Ngauri Ushuma Nichko women and Raungo Pata Mwanda Atutai and Susan Lavangaman. Then lastly, Che, is that really something that most municipalities are not doing is to work on replacing old infrastructure. When they budget, they look at everything except replacing what was built long time ago. So they must see to it that their budget, when they budget, they also budget on replacing old infrastructure, not only with fleets and on electricity, but with everything. They must, because most municipalities are going there, so they must work on replacing old infrastructure. That will also assist them not to use service providers, because once they start to use service providers, that's where culprits and corruptions are going to come into the municipality and corrupt everything. So they must minimize private business into the municipality by capacitating the municipality to provide services on its own. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Runewald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me first note, thank you, Mayor, for your answer. And thank you that you are answering all the questions and not delegating the answers. Chairperson, the reason why I asked the question is because the communities are the best, or consider better part of municipalities. And although that parliaments have a petition process, a lot of exactly what we see today is a lot of these problems already been addressed before it comes to parliament. And that's why this system of communities that have a problem with a municipality can have this processes to try to resolve these problems before it comes to parliament. Especially on further on more is to say that when a municipality do have the systems in place and they do react to the community and the petition comes to us, then we have the reaction of the municipality at that time as well. So Chairperson, that's why I'm asking the question, is to see if we can get petitions in terms of parliament more streamlined with our municipalities to say that what was the answer that time and what is the current status already or updated status. So Chair, that's from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now I am informed that the chairperson of the provincial department is in the meeting. Oh, it says to me somebody from the provincial department is in the meeting, Mr. Kibi. I'm sure he must have been listening. If there's anything you want to say, Mr. Kibi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good day to all the honorable members and our colleagues, COCTA from National Department, as well as our colleagues in the city. My name for the record is Kiba Kekana.
Oh.
Kiba Kekana from COCTA I'm responsible for intergovernmental relations and related matters. So we have been listening. Unfortunately, my laptop just deserted me when I was about to say something. We want to welcome the presentations from the city, and we also noted all the comments that were made by honorable members, and we generally concur with the approach and the spirit that local government is a Chapter 7 institution with its original powers from the Constitution. All what we want to indicate is that we believe, I think as a province, that the intergovernmental relations structures that are in place could assist greatly in resolving matters that are related to service delivery. We, from the provincial side, working with national, we have strengthened our capacity to support as well as to coordinate support or mobilize support to support local government. That is informed by Section 154 of the Constitution. So in that regard, we have established or we develop a model called local government support model, which, you know, we have established regional support teams. So in each and every, in the five regions of Gauteng, Ekurhuleni is a region as a metro, there's the regional support team convened by COGTA. National participates, national department participate, provincial participate, municipalities participate. And it addresses all the pillars that we know originate from the back to basic, B2B. It also comes from the municipal institutional support, which, you know, has formulated some key performance indicators. You know, that pillar that members emphasized throughout the meeting was the people's first pillar, where there are community development workers and other government or community-based workers are converging in that space. So I think it's an area that will allow us to be responsive if we utilize it correctly, because we also introduced the ABCD model, the asset-based community development, that speaks to the ownership of assets of the infrastructure by communities. So those, there are a number of pillars. So what we're saying is that there perhaps is going to be important that we strengthen those intergovernmental relations. Because if things are not working well from the regional support team and we escalate them through the statutory IGR structures from HOD, MM structures, mayors, MEC mayor's platform up until they go to PCF before they go to national. So these are very important. And we also note that the district development model is also an attempt and an approach that tries to bring together the various structures of government into one space in order to resolve. Lastly, Chairperson, the Provincial Executive Committee established 7 provincial war rooms. These war rooms are meant to unblock service delivery blockages. Just to indicate, there's a war room that deals with law enforcement. Its priority areas include the protection of infrastructure, cable theft, because the security of the infrastructure equals to revenue protection. So I think that is very key. And we know the challenges facing local government relates to cash flow challenges. So if the security of the infrastructure is not secured enough, then revenue is also not secured. So I think members raised that point. So I think, so that is that. But we also have a war room that is focusing on infrastructure planning, service delivery. And there's also a war room that is looking at the general issues of revenue, payment of services, payment by government departments, payment of service providers. So all of these war rooms, including red tape, we want to also implore that perhaps at the level of provincial government, the city and national, if we strengthen our participation in these structures a lot of issues are going to be resolved, because those seven war rooms are targeting all those areas that are blockages, so that by the time, if we escalate, we must escalate something that we cannot do using those IGR structures. And the last point that was also raised by member Tinkhonevald in the meeting, I just want to state it. It's around the integrated petition management system that has been recognized, and that through the Premier of Gauteng and executive, they implored on us as provincial government to work with municipalities and national, just to look at an integrated petition management system so that things do not fall through the cracks. We should do that. And I think it's an area that is a weakness, I think, generally speaking. But we are working on it, and we are putting all the efforts to look at the integrated petition management system. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I don't know, Honorable Matumba, I still see your hand. If it is an old hand. But I wouldn't want to reopen this discussion on the basis of this input by the province. Honorable Matumba?
Yeah, no, if that's so, Chair, then we can proceed, because this input was with, we didn't get a chance to deliberate on, but if that's how you see it, then it's fine, Chair.
No, I would suggest so, because the petition is already with us, so we have handled it. Maybe just one clarity to indicate that we are Parliament. We are not national. So our tasks might be different. Number two, if anything comes to us that comes from the people, it must be responded to, guided by the Constitution as indicated. So hence I'm saying for us, all these structures that this member of this session is mentioning, if he says to us there's a first pillar, we want that pillar to work. If says there are war rooms, we want those war rooms to work. If there's integrated management of petition, we want those to work. And the only way we will see that they are working is when people don't raise issues with us. I think that sentiment was expressed. So engaging with those structures, all we want is them working. So what we would suggest, and I think this comes out of the discussions, is a improved communication with the residents of Ekurhuleni. So in other words, we must not, as Parliament, be found to be necessary to come in. There must be improved. Then one request, which I think is the outcome of this meeting, it's a detailed response plan with time frames to the petition. In other words, we are specific here, we're not general about issues. Detailed response plan with time frames to this petition. We would appreciate all those comments about investigations and consequences as raised by those who were complaining. And I think what we also would like to raise, in fact, I was listening to Honorable Ishmael. He's talking about historical challenges. Whilst you might know them as historical, they are challenges of the municipality. So they must be addressed. They must be part of the plan, as we would be getting that plan. So in other words, we don't, so when you take over government, with everything. So your plans must actually take that into account. And I think basically members were just saying it would help us because the people we must respond to are the petitioners, that the municipality consolidate a response with clear time frames, also informed by some of the questions that members raised. And maybe a message for the provincial government is to say as well, plans that are put in place must be translated into action so that the impact is felt on the ground. And like I'm saying, once there's good governance, once people receive services, we will all be happy. This was an attempt to wind up the meeting and hope that within our prescribed time frame, which would not exceed a month, within 30 days, would expect this detailed response plan. I'm sure you listened to the members in terms of what were they saying in the context of the plan. Within 30 days, we'd be very happy to receive that response. And otherwise, thank you very much for attending the session, and the mayor for taking charge of the response, and the petitioners for not giving up, whilst this might have been submitted a long time ago. I'm sure all of us, we are learning as we are engaging with some of these issues. And in the end, the people will take us seriously, that we take their matters seriously, as we have done. Otherwise, thank you very much. The session is closed. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Yeah,
Chair, I came in late, thanks. I hope my issues were ventilated.
Thanks.
I agree, sir. Hey, Honorable Mpums.
Recording has stopped.